ago, immediately after this conference, the opportunity for going to confession. It was only a 2-day retreat. Confession is very important. Our present meditation is on the Catechist as channel of grace. By catechist, of course, we mean a person who teaches by example, by his words, by his sacrifice, the true faith. After all, our salvation depends on our generosity in sharing our faith with others. I thought I would concentrate on just one saint as an example of strong, faithful teaching of the true faith. That is Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower. First, to say something about her own teaching about the primacy of love. Then, the role of all of us to each other about love being the most fundamental truth we can teach. And the Catechist as channel of this love which comes from God. And finally, some conclusions. Our first reflection, therefore, is on the teaching of Saint Thérèse. These are quotations. While looked upon the mystical body of Christ, she says, I recognize myself in none of the members which Saint Paul described. What is more, I desire to distinguish myself more favorably within the whole body of the church. Love seems to me what the church most needs. Another quotation. I knew that the church founded by Christ had a body composed of many members, but in this body the necessary and varied members were all to share their faith in different ways with the members of Christ's body. She continues, indeed I knew that the church had a body composed of various members, but I was not sure what my role was in sharing my faith with other members of the mystical body. One thing I knew, however, that the church had a heart, that such a heart appeared to be aflame with love. I knew that one love opposed, better, appeared to be aflame with charity. That if this love were extinguished, the apostles would have nevertheless proclaimed the gospel, but the martyrs would have shed their faith, shed their lives, more than faith, uselessly. The teaching of the faith depends on the one who teaches being able to teach the love of God. In our world, that love is everlasting. Then I became nearly ecstatic. She writes, the experience of joy in my soul, I proclaim, O Jesus, my love. At last I have found my calling, and my calling is love. Certainly, I have found my proper place in the church. And you gave me a deep love of you in the heart of the church, my mother. I'll be loved, and thus I'll be all things as my desire finds its direction. Now, with that introduction, I'd add a comment of my own. It is not our purpose here to indulge in a beautiful commentary on the little flower. There's only one need that we all have. Whatever else our modern world lacks, it is authentic, true, selfless love. Religious instruction can and should cover many things. Well, there is one thing this religious instruction must be outstanding in. It must teach charity, which is selfless love. Why? And this is an important quotation of the little flower. Christianity without charity is paganism. I like that. As we know, this 24-year-old saint, little flower, died at the close of the last century. Canonized in record time, and most recently he appointed nothing less than a doctor of the church. All we need, these 2 short days we're in the retreat, how we need to know what the world most needs is uncompromising, selfless love. Whatever else we share with others, our words, our example, He must teach the world to love. Let me be, shall I say, brutally honest. He has only one short life in this world. If we live to be 100 years old, what is 100 over the denominator of eternity? In this world, only a very short time. Depending on how we live, but hear it. Depending on what we share with others, we will gain our heavenly reward. Heaven depends on our practice of charity. And what the world most needs is to be taught the meaning, the importance, in fact, the indispensability of the charity which God, who is love, came to teach the world. Our next subject, therefore, is the catechist. Someone who teaches the faith is the teacher of Christian love. Believe me, there is much more than academic value making clear just what those who share their faith with others are to impart to those whom we teach. Let me be clear, we are to teach everyone who enters our lives. Let me repeat, we are to teach everyone who enters our lives. But as we know, there are so many truths revealed by God that need to be told. They need to be believed. There are so many precepts of the gospel. They need to be learned. There are literally hundreds of thousands of volumes on the Catholic faith. But what is the one thing that we should especially teach the world that enters our lives? And not to forget the words of Christ at the Last Supper. By this, said Jesus, shall all know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That is the most fundamental, the most basic truth we are to teach others. What else therefore we do as Catholics? We must teach those under our care, those who enter our lives, the heart of Christianity. We must teach by our example, by our words, by our patience. We must teach others the deep, indispensable meaning of charity. It might be useful, if only for a few minutes, to explain what we mean by Christian charity. Christian charity is not merely love. I know no word in the English language is most widely abused than the word love. Christian charity is not merely love, nor again is Christian charity merely supernatural love. Christian charity is indeed supernatural love, because we'll be simply unknown except for the revelation made by God. God Himself became man to teach us the meaning of love. Told what the meaning of love is, and taught us, this needs to be said, taught us the deepest meaning of love by having Himself crucified and dying on the cross out of love. Well, let's be honest. This love which Christ practiced, by which He teaches us what Christian love is all about, requires, what cheap words these are, requires extraordinary grace. What do we mean by Christian love? We mean loving God more than anyone else in the world, especially more than we love ourselves. We love ourselves deeply, constantly, self-sacrificingly, shall I say, heroically. We ought to love God more than we love ourselves. It secondly means we love others out of love for God. Believe me, is not easy to put into practice. One truth I must share with you. Love either suffers or it is not real love. Love pays for being practiced. Love costs. Love is expensive. Love, what a cheap word, is very dear. According to Christ, not merely His teaching, but His life. Almost the moment He was born to the moment He died, as we know, Christ as a child had to flee to Egypt to stay alive. Live in the obscure town of Nazareth, God of sight. He had so many enemies. Once He began His public ministry, remember, the first time He appeared in a synagogue to preach, He didn't even finish His first sermon. What did they try to do? They rushed Him, picked up His body, carried Him to the nearest hill. We're going to throw Him over the hill. And this is not figurative language. You don't love as Christ wants us to unless we pay for it.
Oh Lord, what stories I could tell. The price of generous, genuine love is very high. As Catholics, we have many truths, truths of the faith we ought to teach others, but none that we can teach anyone is more basic, more important, or more profitable for salvation, or, shall I say, more distinguishingly Catholic and Christian than to teach others the meaning of real, selfless love. I'm only a human being. Speak to other human beings. I know what I'm saying. The hardest virtue to practice, barring none, is the practice of thoroughly selfless, Christ-like love. And that is the background. We continue. The Catholic as the channel of Christian love. And remember, the language of our Catholic faith, the word charity, means selfless love. Here, the teaching of this selfless love is so important in sharing the faith. How can that be done? Over the 25 some years, I taught my Jesuit priests their theology. I told them, you can't teach them everything. What you teach, make as clear as you can. What does it mean to love others with complete selflessness? What, if you wish, is a pedagogy of Christian charity? One simple sentence answer. The most effective way for a Catholic to teach Christian charity, which means, as we're saying, the teaching of selfless love, is to practice, to live a life of selfless love. And nobody cheats here. Nobody. All the academic learning we can have in the world, all the polysyllabic terms we may know, all the theology we may have memorized, wasted effort. We teach our faith to others only in the measure that we have that faith ourselves. Period. Close the book. There is much more locked up in this statement than meets the eye. God will use us to share our faith with others in the measure that we live that faith ourselves. Let me be clear. We have a duty to share what we believe with others. Unless we do that, hear it. You'll not be saved. We must. That imperative verb must It has to be taken literally. We must share with others what we ourselves believe. And you share only as much with others as you live what you try to teach others. Here, the most instructive virtue of Christianity. Dear Lord, give me the ability to say what you want me to say. We will share only as much what we believe as we live or are trying to share with others. And it is, as we are saying, the selfless love of God and the selfless love of others out of love for God. Nowhere in my judgment is, call it the proverb, like reproduces like. Nowhere in my judgment it is more dramatically, has been more historically, more infallibly true than here. They are meant to be conduits, channels of communicating love to others. We shall be, only one condition. All the academic knowledge in the world, all the learning that I've acquired over the years of study, the doctorates, I finished 2 doctorates. One in theology, will you believe I finished a doctorate in physics. All of that is meaningless unless what I'm trying to teach others I am sincerely trying to live myself. In other words, I must be personally living this love if I want to share it with others. It is much deeper than giving a good example. It is of the essence of the apostolate. I have it in my notes, so I'll read it. This is the iron law of spiritual reproductivity. You're all, every one of us, meant to reproduce ourselves. Why decided? Give up marriage and sacrifice my physical reproduction. I had to be convinced there's another form of reproduction. That is, reproducing my soul. We are meant to reproduce ourselves. I repeat, this, what we're sharing with you, is the iron law of spiritual reproductive. I will reproduce myself in teaching, instructing, shaping the lives of others to love as Christ wants us to, only in the measure that I'm living a life of selfless love. Close the book. In fact, close the library. It is, needless to say, the secret of being an effective apostle. I've said so many times over the retreats, none of us will get to heaven alone. Either we help by enabling others to reach heaven or what we are, or we'll not make heaven ourselves. Consequently, two directives I'm sharing with you. Live what you teach. Live what you teach. Especially Christian charity. Next imperative. Be what you say. Especially selfless love. I'm speaking to an audience of women. God blessed you women with the capacity for love that men can partly experience, but I repeat, reserved for women to teach the world the meaning and the practice of truly Christ-like selfless love. Under the cross on Calvary, thank God there was one man there, John the Apostle. The others were women. After Christ's burial, who came to visit his tomb? Not the men. They're in hiding. Women came to the tomb early in the morning. Over the centuries, women have been the model for men to follow. I mean that. Oh, the responsibility you have to teach the world that enters your life the meaning, the Christ-like meaning of selfless love. Then you can leave the rest up to God. He knows that the main reason he became man and the person of Jesus Christ was he might follow, that we might follow in his footsteps and prove to the world there is such a thing as selfless love. Now, this is not a figurative speech. It is real. What Christianity is, my notes have underlined the verb is, the true religion. Why? Because it produces selfless people. People who believe, and we're using the little flower as an example, with St. Therese, that our primary vocation in life is to love. Of course, we do not, we dare not love everyone in the same way. That's where the virtue of prudence comes in. You don't go along the street and embrace every person you meet. By the end of the second block, you're taken to police custody. It takes prudence, takes wisdom. When the heart is truly selfless love, and that, I mean it, was the vocation of a little flower. Let's be honest. The price of loving others selflessly is suffering. Over the years, I put together definitions. Is one of them. Suffering. The price of loving others selflessly is suffering. Naturally speaking, apart from grace, what we most desire, to be loved. But one important verse of this is, if that is a spontaneous desire of human nature, divine grace rises above nature. That in fact is the definition of grace. Grace is that which rises above nature. It rises above nature in the practice of love by loving others. And of course, this means you're not always, what a safe statement, be loved in response to our love of others. Expect it. Plan on it. If you expect to be loved in return, you are not living, I mean this, a truly Christian life. If God became man to practice selfless love, for those whom he deeply loved, for whom he died on the cross, what they do, they murdered him. This could be just not another conference or just another retreat. I could speak for 30 days, 5 hours every day, on the price of Christ-like love. The price of Christ-like love is not to receive the same love from others, to be given to them. That is not Christianity. That, in plain English, is sophisticated paganism. Of course, this means enduring pain. Now, the deepest pain on earth, I firmly believe, is not in the body. Over years I've had my share of pain in the body. The deepest pain is in our spirit. How deeply, how dearly, how constantly we want to be loved. And loved we are. What a difference it makes by whom we are loved. Do not expect to be loved in return in the measure that you love other people. But the reward is immense. Already in this life, selfless love produces such peace of soul as nothing else in the world can provide. And there's one thing our modern world needs. It is peace of soul. And the price of experiencing peace of soul, I repeat, is selfless love of everyone whom God places into our lives. Moreover, and of course we're living in this world, but not for this world. I think I should say it. Only an idiot, a complete idiot, wants to remain in this world. We're made for the world to come. And this is where Christ infallibly promises us as a reward for our selfless love of others is to enjoy the possession of God in deep measure already here on earth. I have counseled too many souls. I know what's going on in the human heart. We are all loved by God in the exact measure we live a life of selfless love of others. And that love is only a selfless spirit. That means giving ourselves to others and not receiving from them the affection that we expect in return. God, we define His love. There is no substitute for being loved by God. But let me tell you, loving God costs. Loving God is expensive. Loving God is dear. The more deeply we love God by showing our love for Him, by loving, I'll say it, unlovable people in this world, the more God will reward us by experiencing His love for us already in this valley of tears. And better still, be more happy than we could ever have been for all eternity on one condition. Practice real, honest to God, selfless love of others may now return their love to us here on earth. Lord Jesus, another name for You is amor, love. How well You knew what love means. How You taught us, almost from the moment You were born till You expired on the cross, what love means. Teach us, we beg You, understand what love means by loving selflessly everyone You place into our lives. You are God. You love us for all eternity. We could never be loved in return otherwise. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.